This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. It's time for an NFL Draft Big Board Report. Let's do this, where we give Brian Broaddus the top NFL draft headlines and get his reaction to it. We need to start with the Broaddus insider report here on Tet McMillan's 40
Time.
Yeah,
I do. A couple of my Gang of Seven guys got back to me on the Tet McMillan Times. I know we had a 448. Albert Breer, a friend of the show, he had some times of a 454. One of my guys did have a 454. The other one had a 450. So if you split those times, as we like to do, he's somewhere in that 451, 452 range for Tet McMillan is what they got. So that's just to kind of update what a couple of teams had. 454, 450 were the two that I got.
It's a good range still. Yep. You know, as long as we're not leaking over 456, I would think. Is that based on history? Isn't there a stat like?
Yeah, there's a 455. The last time that a receiver was drafted in the top 10 that was 455 or plus was Mike Johnson with the
Mike Williams,
with the Detroit Lions was the last time.
Okay. A lot of Mike Williams have come in over the years.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sure exactly. Was that the USC Mike Williams?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So not a lot of teams believe in you as a wide receiver if you run slower than 4 or 5. It appears that he is right there. The chances of him being available at 12, I think, are very relevant because that is one of those exciting players that I think fans would definitely want to see. Like, pop on some Tet McMillan highlight film if you want to get excited about the Cowboys draft. This guy makes it happen, Brian.
He does.
Closest thing to Dez I think we would have had.
Oh, I think a little bit more, yeah. It's a fair comparison. You know, when you talk about catch radius, I think this guy is one of those Dez was so powerful in the air. This guy can go and get
a little more finesse.
A little bit more finesse. I think that this guy, we always talk about 50-50 balls. This guy's a 70-30 catcher. If it's going to be, you know, a contested play, you got a 70% shot with him going to get in the football.
Yeah, I think the actual number on it is 60% catch rate on contested targets.
Yeah.
Wow. What they call contested targets. He's a guy that at the catch point is going to go ahead and win that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just his hands seem amazing, long arms. You know, he's going to go up and grab the ball while he's spinning in midair and just do majestic stuff.
How about the fact that he plays in the slot too, Broaddus?
Yeah, he does.
You think of him as just a boundary X receiver and just run down the field and we'll throw it up to you, but this is a guy that can win from the slot as well at that size.
At that size, he's got this ability to find space and to be able to run through space, know when to settle down. His quarterback is, you know, his junior year was much better. Well, I think, let me see, he's coming out early. So, yeah, it would be his 2 years ago. Quarterback was a freshman and was like, they were on a little bit of a run. Matter of fact, got their head coach a job at the University of Washington for how well they played. But, man, he is a guy that if you throw it around him, he is going to find a way to come down with it. He's just that type of player. Inside routes, down the field routes, along the sideline routes, screens, make people miss. He's got some special ability to him.
Okay. I mean, it might be time to make up a rumor that he ran a 4.7, Chief. You know, yeah. See if we can just put that out there.
And honestly, I don't even know if it matters when you're seeing like Daniel Jeremiah, when you're seeing Mel Kiper, they're doing their mock drafts, and he's slipping past the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the chances of him being there, I think, are feeling more and more likely, despite the fact that the 40 time ended up being pretty much what you would want it to be.
Yeah, the Cowboys might very well like Matthew Golden from Texas better than they would like Tet McMillan. That might be a possibility there.
For the downfield ability, yeah. The blazing speed.
Well, yeah, the thing with Golden is that he can absolutely run, and it translates to when you watch him play. The separation is there. Similar going and getting the football, you know, when you talk about that, but I think that to me, I could say, when you've seen McMillan, he's done it now for a couple of years. Golden, you know, at the University of Houston, he was a good player, but really burst on the scene when he was at Texas.
Man, that speed's valuable when you try those deep shots. If you can just put it anywhere down there, there's a pretty good chance he can correct course and go get it. You just have to avoid the defensive back in the sideline.
Especially considering the Dak deep ball numbers I have at 5 o'clock today.
Okay, looking forward to that. Let's get some audio here. Ian Rappaport, NFL Insider. Now that Cooper Rush is gone, how early are the Cowboys looking at taking one?
This to me says the Cowboys are going to go quarterback in the draft, and I wonder how high are they going to go, right? Like, I would be surprised at this point if they take a quarterback in the first round. I think everybody would. But what if it's someone like, I don't know, Quinn Ewers in the second round, right? A quarterback who's really talented, who they know well, right? Who might not have to play for a couple years, but in 3 years might end up being someone who's certainly talented enough to be the starting quarterback. How high do they go, right? Because if you're going to wait to the fifth or sixth or seventh round, you don't know what kind of backup quarterback you're getting. And honestly, by then, they may all be gone. This, at least to me, means the Cowboys are considering taking one, if not Thursday, maybe on Friday. And then you're talking about some household names. And then you're talking about some really, really talented quarterbacks. And that, to me, is where it all gets fascinating for the Cowboys. So, yes, Cooper Rush going to the Baltimore Ravens is sort of like somewhat interesting. Where the Cowboys go next and how high they go next at quarterback is going to be intriguing moving forward.
Okay, if the Cowboys are seriously thinking about round two or three, you know, I would hope it's not Quinn Ewers. There might be a couple of players that I could look at, but after watching Quinn play college football the last couple of years, I mean, seems like a lovely guy. I think he goes to church. Seems like an amazing leader. You know, a lot of things to like about this Quinn Ewers guy.
Absolutely. The intangibles are there when it comes to the character.
Future son-in-law gets the two thumbs up. You're like, yeah, good choice, honey.
Yeah, and I don't think you would have said that a couple of years ago. The mullet version of him looked
he was
like
a wild
little
child.
Bit more Gardner Minshew style. But
frumpy.
Yeah, he's seen the light now.
Yeah, he came back. I think it was the 2023 season. But, you know, I think this is a really interesting conversation. I just love the idea that the Cowboys have evolved their thinking and they're looking at it like, listen, if Dak goes down, we need to maximize our chances of maybe drafting Arch Manning or somebody in the top five.
100%. That was my biggest takeaway. Them letting Cooper Rush go, it all signs in my mind point to they're comfortable with, hey, if Dak's going to get hurt again, let's just lean into that and let's go actually instead of picking at 12 in a year that we could have been picking in the top five. Let's actually pick in the top five. But taking Quinn Ewers or any one of these quarterbacks for the most part in the second or third round feels a little crazy. That's a luxury pick. You're taking something in the second or third round when you have this many holes and you're not expecting this thing to help you for like 3 years.
Yeah.
That is wild. Unless you have a quarterback that falls to you and you just are blown. Jackson Dart, maybe. He's probably still going to go in the first round. But at least there's some upside there that you're like, we just couldn't pass on it. Okay. But like Quinn Ewers, I don't think there's an elite trade that he has. At least with a guy like Milroe, at least you have one elite, surefire, guaranteed, it's going to translate skill.
Yeah.
With the way he runs. And Quinn Ewers, I don't think has any elite trait.
Yeah, there's, you know, Quinn Ewers, and you got to give him a lot of credit for the wins that they've had the last, you know, couple years and getting to the playoffs and stuff. I think there's some durability questions with this guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, and he's played through a lot too, but he's one of those guys when he seems to take a hit, there things happen to them. This goes back to like the Alabama game, like his first year where they got him, they tackled him, his shoulder got really messed up, and you know, he wasn't really the same quarterback the rest of the year. But he's had some durability questions.
Ankles, so, obliques.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, you know, he's got that where you kind of have to ask some questions about, okay, if he's a backup guy, as a backup guy, is he going to get hurt himself? I think that's where some teams are looking at with him right now.
I mean, best of luck to Quinn Ewers. We've seen players do a lot of work once they get to the pros and turn themselves into serviceable guys, but I would just think that's a long shot. And then chances of a second or third round quarterback just being good in general are very low. I mean, I know you have your Drew Brees in there, but that's a huge opportunity cost. I need those picks for other positions.
But let's be real, the Cowboys, that's where they usually get a little crazy on you.
They do.
Second round, they take some chances.
All right, what else do we have going on here? We have a three-round mock draft, and this is what they end up with here, guys. At 12, Ashton Jeanty, mm-hmm. he was there, they took him. Mm-hmm. And then the cornerback from Ole Miss, Brian, Trey Amos.
Yeah.
At 44, and then Jalen Royals, wide receiver, Utah State in the third round. Would that get your stamp of approval?
That was a mock draft that I did the other day.
Really?
Yeah, that's my post right there.
Okay.
Actually, that's exactly what I would have done. I mean, that's seriously, no. I don't know who did that mock draft, but they absolutely hit it at all three levels, in my opinion. You got a first-round runner. You got a second-round corner that plays really tight press man coverage. Could also play off. And then Royals is a guy that, man, when you watch him play, his ability to once again go get the football, inside routes, crossing routes, there's just a lot of things that, you know, he's kind of a bully. Utah State wasn't a very good team, and he's a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. He plays really big. This guy reminds me of Jaden Reed from the Packers. If you watch him play, if you aren't familiar with Jaden Reed's game in Green Bay, this is how this cat plays, Jalen Royals. He is 6 foot. He's 205 pounds. And everything is across the field, down the field, screens. He's not the most niftiest guy, but, man, he is like a bull with the ball in his hands. You know, he averaged a touchdown a game in his college career. So, you know, keep an eye on that for sure.
I mean, so you've hit running back, you've hit corner, and you've hit wide receiver. Those are three of the four must-haves, you feel like, in this draft. And then a run-stopping one-tech defensive tackle who's better than Mozzie Smith. Can we get one in the fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh? I know fourth they don't have right now, but maybe they trade into it.
Yeah, I think there's a way that they're probably going to get their fourth back. I could see them moving back. I've got several of these guys. I think when you start to talk about that, you're saying the one techniques, Collins from Texas, West from Indiana, Phillips, Caldwell from Oregon. There's some quality defensive tackle one techniques. This day three of the draft where it starts in the fourth round, that's where a lot of these pockets of players are going to be. Whether if you don't get a runner, you get one in the fourth. Defensive ends are there. Defensive tackles are there. Linebackers there. Your nickel corners, Parrish, Riley, Huzzy, those guys will be there. So fourth round, if you can find a way to kind of get that pick back, could do some good.
Okay, I'm going to give you the quarterback trade-up in the first round that's happened here over the last 15 years, and you tell me if it was worth it or not. Teams that trade up for a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft. The move up for J.J. McCarthy, probably worth it, you know, but we can't say for sure. So let's skip that one.
Okay.
Carolina moving up for Bryce Young. You moved up eight spots. You used two twos and a one. I would say not worth it.
No.
Would want to go back and undo that.
Yeah.
San Francisco for Trey Lance, not worth it.
Not worth it.
Bears move up nine spots for Fields, and not worth it. Jets move up from 6 to 3 for Darnold. Not worth it. Okay, Bills move up five spots for Josh Allen.
There you go.
Massive worth it.
Ting!
Cardinals move up five spots for Josh Rosen at 10.
Not worth it.
Awful. Chiefs move up 17 spots for Mahomes. There you go.
John Dorsey did that trade, he and Andy together, and I'll tell you what, John had a really a nice vision for what Mahomes potentially could be.
Yeah.
And that's why, and he convinced Andy to do that. That's a big, big, big move for a quarterback.
Yeah. But
man, it paid off huge. As we all know.
There's like a film about that, or a 30 for 30 or something about that trade.
John was convinced, and he convinced Andy that this guy could be special. Now, John, he messed up with the Johnny Manziel draft, but he had the right vision for Mahomes, and that is a huge move to go get a player like that.
Texans moved up 13 spots to number 12 for Deshaun Watson. I would say in the end it worked out okay for them. It was worth it until if you could take the controversy out. Like,
yeah,
the football reasoning was sound.
Well, he played well for them, and then also though all the picks they got for him once they traded him.
Yeah.
You know?
Rams move up 14 spots for Jared Goff, not worth it. Huh. Right? Eagles moved up 6 spots from 8 to 2 for Wentz. Looked good for a while.
For a while. First year until he got his knee hurt.
Washington moved up and sold the farm for RG3.
Yeah.
Should have been worth it.
Should have been worth it. Just the knee problems were too much.
And then the Jags moved up for Gabbert. That takes you back to just before 2010. That one was not worth it. So there's like a 70% chance you're going to end up regretting it.
Right.
You still throw the dice on it?
On a quarterback?
Yeah.
Man, I'll
trading
say,
up, using future ones, yeah. And it's such a double whammy.
I think that, you know, if you're probably trading up for a quarterback, you're probably not a very good team. So, I mean, hey, those guys can be difference makers. We saw what Kansas City did. You know, a couple other teams were able to do as well. But I'm pretty much a sit and wait guy. Mm. I think sometimes I think it's such a hard position for teams to evaluate, that if you sit there, you might actually get your guy.
Okay, and then give me a little something on Mel Kiper Jr. going back to the Omarion Hampton here at 12. Yeah. Should that be concerning? Does this guy have superstar potential?
The guy's a really, really good player. I have Johnson over him, the running back from Iowa. But, I mean, they're all, like I say, Johnson, Hampton, Henderson are all my second-round guys. Hampton is a guy that I've said this before, and people freak out when I say it. He reminds me of, his running style is that of like DeMarco Murray, with these kind of, the way he kind of shuffles along the ground, his feet stay on the ground the way they do. But he's a really, really good player. But at 12, I don't know if I surely wouldn't do that myself. I just kind of feel like though, but this is where you have to keep an eye on Kiper, because he's done it a couple of times now, and he was a guy that was right about Tyler Smith.
Yes.
So if he's putting out there now, both these times he's got Ashton Jeanty gone, but man, I'll tell you what, this guy, like I say, Hampton at 12, he would help your running back situation. No doubt. No doubt he would help it. I just think there probably be some other players on that board that I would take at 12 before him.
You got to be ready for a surprise. We've seen so many over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, Leighton Vander Esch was a surprise. Mo Claiborne was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
Taco.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's about a 35% chance or so when you go into these drafts as a Cowboys fan that something's going to come out of left field there in the first round on you.
Yeah. He runs through contact and stuff like that. The power to break arm tackles and foot in the ground and make a read, kind of a zone runner. He's not going to make you miss a bunch. There were snaps where he broke in the open field, and
you don't use the 12th pick on that.
No, but he's a really, really good player. He catches the ball. He's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of positive things about Hampton. I like Johnson from Iowa said a little bit better.
Where are we going to the top 10, Chief?
The top 10 grocery items most affected by inflation. Mm-hmm. Which item has you the most frustrated at the grocery store? That's next right here in the Nation.